Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Welcome back. I am Molly Smith, your host. I want to remind you all that our program is available for download. You can do so by going to our website, fromthemedian.org. Listeners, as always, it's so wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining. As I remind you all the time, please remember too that all of our programs are available on your podcast app, so you can download them and listen, take them with you wherever you go. You don't have to be sitting by a radio to listen to this. Right now, I'm going to be introducing to you a brand new guest, somebody who we have been trying to get hold of for a long time, and it's happened. Here we have Dr. Miriam Grossman, who is, she really does not need any introduction at all. She is very well known. She's known worldwide for what she has, the amazing work that she is doing when it comes to trying to sort out our wacky culture right now. Dr. Miriam Grossman is a board certified psychiatrist and in the subspecialty of child and adolescent psychiatry. Before gender ideology was on anyone's radar, she warned parents about its falsehoods and the dangers in her 2009 book, more than a decade ago, about what was going on in our sexuality education in our schools. She wrote a book called You're Teaching My Child What? I love that title. I absolutely love it. Dr. Grossman's practice currently focuses on gender distressed young people and their parents. She believes that every child is born in the right body, and that's what we're going to be talking about right now. Dr. Grossman, welcome to the program.
Oh, sure, Molly. I'm so glad to be finally on. I know you were trying to get me for a while, so I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. But thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy lady, but that's okay. We're going to try and spread the word as far and wide as we can here in the Midwest and, you know, in the Ohio area. And we actually are also in Michigan, and people listen to us in Canada as well. So we'll get it all out there. You found this many years, I mean, over a decade, as I said. You've written 5 books. I think your first book was in 2007, if I'm not mistaken. And then from then on, you've just continued to write. What alerted you to this, Dr. Grossman?
I was alerted to the gender ideology when I was studying sex education and what kids are told about sexuality. And that's where the book came from, You're Teaching My Child What? Or as you said it even better than I did, You're Teaching My Child What? You know, because I was just so, shocked at the information that was being put in front of kids, including little kids. But one of those things that shocked me was that kids were being told, and again, this goes way back to the 2000s already, the kids were being told that sex is between the legs and gender is between the ears. And sometimes the two don't match up. That's perfectly fine. It's a normal variant. You just have to change the body to match the
mind. Oh, my God. This was back in 2000s, early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, it wasn't known at that time that this was happening, but it was clearly within the curricula of Planned Parenthood and other large groups that write out the, you know, the sex education curriculum, and that so many schools all across the country use those curricula. They also have websites that are specifically for children, telling them these things that, you know, sex is on a spectrum. We're not just divided into males and females. In fact, that very idea is an oppressive idea. It's a false idea. And, you know, just the whole thing that people are well aware of these days was happening all the way back then. And when I wrote that book, You're Teaching My Child What, and I put in a chapter there about what kids are being told about gender, you know, Molly, I really thought like this was going to explode when people see this and they're going to just say, you know, what's going on here? You can't be telling kids this is dangerous. This is false. Of course, sex is binary. Sex is established at conception, the moment that the sperm and the egg unite. You have an embryo that's either male or female, that is permanent, that cannot be changed. There is no third option. There is no non-binary, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, one of the things that you mentioned in you know, as you're talking about it and as you're, you know, some of the articles you've written, you actually liken it to going down the rabbit hole with Alice in Wonderland. And it's so, that's such a good description because that's what we've done.
Yeah. Well, when I read this stuff years ago, I did feel like I had just entered some sort of alternate universe. I mean, how can it be that these so-called reputable, esteemed educators using tax money are putting these things in front of little kids' faces at school, at home, online, in books, in libraries? I mean, how? How in the world? And I was so sure, Molly, that this would just be explosive. Now, unfortunately, it was not at that time. And it's taken this catastrophe that we're in right now with, you know, a 5,000% increase in the past 10 years of adolescents and young adults who are describing themselves as something other than male or female, or, you know, something other, I should say, as their biological reality. A 5,000% increase. Wow. And now, of course, suddenly everyone is saying, where did this come from? I never heard of this. Like, this happened overnight. No, it did not happen overnight. And I explain in my newest book, which is Lost in Transnation, a child psychiatrist's guide out of the madness. It's on Amazon. The best place, though, there's all these scams on Amazon. People are putting up books that look like mine.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so that's an issue. So when people search on Amazon with Lost in Transnation, they might come across some of those scams. So the best thing is to go to my website, and there's a link right there, and that'll take you to the real book. So my website is MiriamGrossmanMD.com. But just getting back to, I explain in the book how all of this has been percolating in our culture and within the mental health field and sex education for many, many decades. It's just now, you know, come to the forefront because in the past 10 years, it's exploded. It's become a social contagion, meaning that kids, within their friend groups are hearing about transgenderism. They're hearing about it at school from their guidance counselors, of course, online, on YouTube. It's everywhere at Target, from Hollywood. And they are getting this idea, especially the kids who are vulnerable, okay? Kids who have underlying mental health issues. They're on the autism spectrum. They have depression, a history of trauma, and they are being convinced that this is the answer. This is the answer. You don't like your body. You don't like getting your periods. You don't like how men are oogling your female, you know, womanly body. Well, maybe you're not a girl. Maybe you're not, you know, you shouldn't become a woman. You should be a boy. And they're latching on to this idea, and it's being celebrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you know.
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny. I ran into this very, very early on when the whole Kinsey thing, you know, exploded. That was whack. But then, you know, one of the school systems that my children were at, Dr. Grossman, my oldest daughter was in seventh grade at the time. And there was a teacher there who was a homosexual, which it wasn't out of the closet, but he was a homosexual. Everybody knew that. And, was giving her assignments at the time, and I just happened to be with her one evening when she was doing homework, and she had this incredibly, absolutely gross assignment that she was supposed to write, an assignment about, you know, bodily functions and all the rest of it, and I exploded, absolutely exploded. So this is back. My daughter's just about 50 now. So, I mean, this was way back. So you're absolutely right. This is not a new thing. This has been there for but it's what is new, I would say, is the acceptance in the general culture.
Well, the side, you know, the people that are proponents of this gender ideology and it's more like a religion than anything else. It's not based in science. It's not based in medicine. They have been extraordinarily successful. They've done things quietly, okay, in a way that people unfortunately haven't noticed. Mm-hmm. Some people have. I mean, for a long, long time, what some would call the religious right, you know, and the publications, LifeSite News, WorldNet Daily, mm-hmm. and many others were covering this issue. And I was asked to speak in many places after my book came out, You're Teaching My Child What? But they were Christian, at churches, mm-hmm. organizations that were essentially faith-based organizations. And so, you know, those groups really had the heads up. They knew that this was going on, but the rest of the world dismissed it, I guess, you know, as something that only the religious right is involved with. And now they're paying the price.
Absolutely.
And it's a very, very high price. Believe me, kids are being sterilized.
Absolutely. And families destroyed by it. You deal a lot with families, with the fallout of what's happening. What are you actually seeing?
Yeah, I deal with many, many families, hundreds of families. And having dealt with the families and talked to the parents and seen their devastation and the shattering of their lives and sometimes their marriages and families, that was a big reason why I wrote the book, because I so much want to prevent this from hitting, this nuclear bomb from hitting more families. And what I've seen, to answer your question, is that the parents are blindsided. They don't expect this announcement from their child, who in most cases had no history of being unhappy being a boy or a girl, but might have had a history with some mental health issues. But the parents never expected this announcement, you know, I'm not your daughter, I'm your son. Call me by this boy's name, call me by boy's pronouns, take me to a gender clinic, I want my puberty to be blocked, I want to go on testosterone. And they're lost, and they don't know how to respond. They, in many cases, do go ahead and go to a gender clinic, which they later very much regret, because the gender clinic is going to tell the parents that your child knows best, put your child in the driver's seat, and provide your daughter, if it's your daughter, I mean, it's not only girls, it's a majority of girls that we're seeing, but there are a lot of boys as well. Put your child in the driver's seat, use the new name, the new pronouns, and basically put your child in charge. Now, you know, this is just unbelievable. We would never do this in any other field of medicine. We're not only talking about haircuts and clothing. Mm-hmm. We're talking about possibly putting a child on medication that will act on the brain to prevent a normal developmental process that every child needs to go through puberty in order to become an adult.
Oh, my God.
And we've never done this before.
Now, where in this, I mean, is there science that's, you, and I know you've categorically stated that there is absolutely no science behind this, no science whatsoever. So then how are we having, you know, medical doctors, whole medical clinics being built up around this garbage?
Yes. It's a scandal. We've had many medical scandals in the past. We had the lobotomy scandal, in which doctors were recommending to families that their family member should basically have, you know, an ice pick put through their skull in order to sever a part of their brain. We've had other scandals. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to mention COVID and go there, but we do have a history of medical scandals in my profession. This is another medical scandal. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, I explain this in more detail in the book, and I want every family to have this information. They need to understand
absolutely
all of this. But
I'm going to just stop you there because listeners, I am going to put up the book and the link to it on our website. So you can go to the website fronthemedian.org and download the book and download the link to get this book. I 100% agree. This is why we have Dr. Grossman on the program right now, because it's so important we get this information out there.
Yeah. So what happened essentially, just to put it, you know, within the time span that we have together, Molly, mm-hmm. is that there was research that was done on children, back in the 2000s, this was a very small research study that came out of Holland. They picked a small number, because you have to understand, until recently, this phenomenon of any person, let alone a child, standing up and saying, you know, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. Yeah. I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. And insisting on that, and, you know, dreaming, pleading with their parents of, you know, please, I want to wake up tomorrow and I want to be a girl. This was an incredibly rare phenomenon. Okay, I'm talking about like one in tens of thousands, if not 100,000 people. And that is why 20 years ago, there were only 3 clinics that existed in the entire world in order to help these families. It was extremely rare. We didn't even have one clinic in the United States because these cases were so rare. So what happened is that this research was done in Holland, and they very carefully picked, they had like 55 of these kids who presented with what was then called gender identity dysphoria. They went ahead and they gave them blockers because they knew that the individuals who had this disorder, who went through puberty later on, did not do well in terms of their mental health. They were mostly men, and they went through male puberty, which gave them, of course, facial hair, a lowered voice, broad shoulders. You know, they were tall. They had large hands and feet, and they had a hard time passing as women later in their lives, even when they went through the gender reassignment, or as it was called then, sex reassignment with hormones and surgeries. And so these researchers in Holland said, you know, the problem is that they go through puberty. What if we very carefully pick the kids that we think are going to persist? And I didn't mention, Molly, and this is very important, that most of the kids who had what was called back then gender identity disorder, as if they were permitted to go through puberty, then by early adulthood, they had outgrown this discomfort with their bodies.
Gosh. Oh.
So something happens in puberty. Puberty, of course, is a massive, a massive change and maturation of every system in the body, including the brain. And so there's huge things, important processes going on during puberty. And the body and the brain specifically is not completely mature until the mid-20s. And so those young people, most of them, would come to terms with their male or female bodies. A lot of them end up gay and lesbian, but they no longer want to have a different body. So these researchers in Holland very carefully picked young people, kids, who they thought had the highest probability of remaining, their gender identity disorder remaining into adulthood. And they therefore picked kids that met these two criteria. There were other criteria as well, but I'm just going to focus on these two criteria. A, they had gender dysphoria, unhappiness with their bodies from a very early age. It was severe, and it was from age 4, 5, 6, or even younger. B, they did not have significant mental health issues. And they took 55 of those kids. They gave them blockers. A few years later, they gave them cross-sex hormones. And then if they wanted, later on, they got surgeries. They followed these kids for a year and a half, not a long time. That's one of the big problems with that, the Dutch research. A year and a half is not enough time. But they found after that year and a half that there was an improvement in their mental health and there was a decrease in their gender dysphoria. And what happened at that time in the 2000s and the early, like 2011, 2014, when this research was being publicized and being published in the literature, is that it was taken as a fait accompli. Yeah. This is how to treat these kids.
Wow.
They could never, there was an attempt, of course, in research, you always want to be able to reproduce
it. Absolutely. Yeah.
No one has been able to reproduce these results.
Wow.
And, but I also want to point out, and this is one of the most important factors, that the population that we're dealing with now, Molly, the population that we're giving blockers to after 30 minutes, that we're giving estrogen and testosterone to Planned Parenthood after one visit, these are not the same population. These are not kids who had gender dysphoria from an early. These are kids who develop these symptoms in adolescence or young adulthood. And these are kids with incredibly high incidence of mental health issues.
And, you know, and what are you going to do if, as you point out in your book, you know, I think, you know, you're teaching my kid what? I mean, if you are going to be constantly dripping this stuff into, these ideas into our young people, we are automatically, we're going to see an increase in this kind of behavior.
Well, of course.
I mean, there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that that's going to happen.
Yes, and they're being told that this is your entire, this is why you have anxiety. This is why you don't have friends. This is why you don't feel good about yourself. And, you know, what teenager to a certain extent does not feel 100% good about
it? Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I had five teenagers that went through these times. I mean, it's a nightmare, but it's a beautiful time too. It's a wonderful time if you can just, you know, you work through the things and you go through, and there's lots of fun in it. There's lots of sometimes heartache, but you get through it. And then you watch, you know, I'm watching my grandchildren going through the same thing now. This is the most amazing time. Why do we have to say that because you're having some anxiety during this time, or that because you're not quite sure of yourself and you're a bit gangly and all the rest of it, you know, what has happened to the community around you, you know, joining together and helping us all get through this kind of stuff?
So this is a calamity, and I'm sure your audience recognizes it, but I want people to know that there's a lot they can do and that their kids don't have to be sitting ducks. I mean, the opposite. Okay. I wrote the book so that we're not sitting ducks to the activists and all the ideology that's out there.
Absolutely.
There's so much parents can do, and the book is not written for PhDs, you just regular moms and dads.
Perfect.
It's also, Molly, I want to just add, I know we're going to be done pretty soon, but I want to add that I did an audio version of the book, so I narrated it.
Wonderful.
And, you know, many, many people can't sit down and read a 300-page book. They're driving, they're doing the dishes, they're doing 100 different things. Yeah. And so they can listen to
it. Oh, that's wonderful. It's called Lost in Transnation, A Child Psychiatrist's Guide Out of the Madness. Beautiful title, absolutely beautiful title. The link will be on our website, but again, it's Dr. Miriam Grossman. As she's just warned you, be sure to go to her website. I will have her website up on the website as well so that you can go straight to the website and you don't have to go through Amazon if you don't want to. Again, it's Miriam Grossman, MD.com. Miriam Grossman,
correct.
MD.com.
And Molly, you know, this is what we just spoke about. This will save families.
Oh, that's amazing. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Miriam. Thank you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For all you've done today. God bless you lots. And we will keep pushing this. Make sure that people get it.
Thank you, Molly.
Okay. Take
thank
care
you.
And God bless you lots. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you all for joining me this evening. As I say good night and God bless each and every one of you, I'd like to close with the words of the Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org, or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.